Open your Bibles, if you will, to Psalm 23. Psalm 23. This morning we will start a new sermon series on the 23rd Psalm. I've entitled this sermon series, Under the Shepherd's Care. And we'll spend a few Sundays looking at Psalm 23 together. This morning we'll just preach verse 1. But we'll go ahead and read the whole psalm just for some context. Psalm 23, we'll just preach verse 1, but we'll read the whole psalm together this morning. Let me remind you, church, that when Scripture speaks, God speaks. So may we approach the reading of His Word with reverence and awe. A Psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Heavenly Father, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8 reminds us that the grass will wither, the flowers will fade, but your word will stand forever. Father, grant unto us eyes to see and ears to hear. This we ask in Jesus' name and by your Spirit. Amen. Psalm 23 was written over 3,000 years ago, but is probably the best known and the most beloved psalm in the Psalter. It truly is a beautiful poem of God's love and His care for us. In about 100 words in English, or about 55 words in the original Hebrew, I think Psalm 23 sums up the Christian life succinctly. God is our shepherd, and we are His sheep. Martin Luther states that this metaphor, that Christ is our shepherd, is beautiful and comforting. A Charles Spurgeon says that Psalm 23 is the pearl of the Psalms. Alexander McLaren, the great 19th century Scottish preacher, he says that Psalm 23 has dried many tears and it's brought peace to many hearts. James Boyce says, for many, the words of this psalm have been the last that they've uttered in life. Joel Beakey says that Psalm 23 is a jewel unsurpassed in richness and beauty. I like what Ian Hamilton says. He's another living Scottish pastor. He says that he's presided over 700 funerals in his ministry. He said in about half of those funerals, Psalm 23 was sang and much comfort was given. Well, as mentioned, I want to start a new little mini-series on the 23rd Psalm. I hope it'll be helpful and practical to you. The big title of the whole series is Under the Shepherd's Care. But the title of this particular sermon is Our Great Shepherd. You know, in my own life, I've sensed a greater need for God's shepherding comfort and care. The older I get, I'm 34 now, but the older I get, the more I realize that I need the Lord's shepherding protection and peace in my own heart. And maybe that's you today. Maybe that's you. Maybe you are a vulnerable sheep and you are in need of a loving shepherd. Maybe you're worn out in life and your soul needs to be restored. Maybe you're in a difficult season in life right now, a turbulent season, and you need God's rod and His staff to guide you. Well, I would say unto you, let this series on the 23rd Psalm minister to you. Come under the shepherd's care. Let Him lead you beside still waters. Allow God to restore your soul. Ask the Lord to comfort you and pray that he might anoint your head with oil. I want to look at two points this morning together, two headings. First, we will look at the setting of Psalm 23. And then second, in verse 1, we'll see the shepherd of Psalm 23. So 2 points, setting and the shepherd. So let's look first at the setting of Psalm 23. And I want to spend a few minutes orienting ourselves to this great psalm. And I want to think about its background or its context. So we'll be in this study for a few weeks. And I think it'll be helpful for you to know a few things by way of background about Psalm 23. Now, who is the author? Who wrote the 23rd Psalm? Well, the divine author is God, but the human author is King David. In fact, if you look at the title, it says, A Psalm of David. Now, when did David live? When did he live, give or take? Well, he lived about 1,000 BC, give or take. So David wrote this psalm about 3,000 years ago. And just if you think of your Bible timeline, that's after Moses, but before the time of Christ. But I believe even though Psalm 23 is 3,000 years old, it's more up to date than tomorrow's newspaper. This psalm is current, and it's a psalm for all of life. Now, just as an aside, the psalms are meant to be sung in worship. In fact, all Christians throughout church history have sang the Psalter, and that's until recently started to die off. But I often call the Psalter God's hymn book or God's hymnal. In fact, one man I read this past week, he said, Psalm 23 was King David's greatest hit. I like that. Psalm 23 is the greatest hit in the Psalter. And we know that David was originally a shepherd boy. He took care of sheep for a living. In fact, over in 1 Samuel 16, King Saul calls David the one who is with the sheep. So David was a shepherd, and of course, the Bible calls David a man after God's own heart. Now, there's different views out there as to when or why David wrote this psalm. There's different opinions. Some commentators think it was written early in David's life, whereas others think it was probably written later in his life. I personally believe that Psalm 23 was written later in King David's life. In his sunset years, if you will. And the reason I think that is because David writes as somebody who has life experience. This is somebody who's been around the block a few times. In fact, down in verse 4, we learn of his sufferings and his hardships. Verse 5, we hear of David's enemies. So David was once a shepherd boy, but now he writes as an old sheep himself. And I think he's reflecting on years of how the Lord has been his shepherd. What about its canonical location? What of its location in the Bible? The word canon just means something's place in Scripture. So where is Psalm 23 located in the canon of Scripture? Well, obviously, Psalm 23, it comes after Psalm 22, but before Psalm 24. But I think that's important. It's important because Psalm 22, Psalm 23, and Psalm 24 are messianic psalms. They tell of the coming Messiah, the Lord Jesus. And Psalm 23 is right smack dab in the middle of these important messianic psalms. So as one commentator has pointed out, Psalm 22 is about Christ the Savior, Psalm 23 is about Christ the Shepherd, and Psalm 24 is about Christ the Sovereign. Or to say it differently, Psalm 22 is about the cross. It's where Jesus cries out, my Lord, why have you forsaken me? Psalm 23 is about the crook, or the shepherd's staff. And Psalm 24 is about the crown. One of my old pastors used to say, Psalm 23 is the valley between two mountains. In other words, Psalm 22 is Mount Calvary, where Christ suffered. And he cries out, my Lord, why have you forsaken me? Psalm 23 is the valley where Christ is with us. And then Psalm 24 is Mount Zion, where Christ is going to come back and reign over all. Now, what if its genre? what type of psalm is this psalm? How could we categorize it? As you know, there's different types of psalms in the Psalter. And you should think about this as you read through the psalms. For example, there's psalms of praise. There's psalms of thanksgiving. There's psalms of suffering and despair, and so on and so forth. Well, we already said Psalm 23 is a messianic psalm. But I think you could also say it's a psalm of trust or a psalm of confidence. Listen, there's a lot of things out there in this world that are vying for your trust and your confidence, aren't there? So you need to let Psalm 23 remind you that the Lord, He is worthy of your trust. He has never let you down in the past. And guess what? He will never let you down in the future. So it's a messianic psalm, but I think it's also a psalm of trust. And really, you see two images developed in this psalm of trust, two illustrations or two pictures. Verses 1 and 4, 1 through 4, you see that God is our shepherd. He's the shepherd. We are his sheep. And then down in verses 5 and 6, notice that the image changes. You see that the Lord is our host. So in verse 5, you are invited to a table that God has prepared for you. And so in these verses 5 and 6, the Lord feeds and he cares for his people. Of course, I think Psalm 23 is extremely relevant for our lives. It has much application. To me, it's a psalm for when life is good, but it's also a psalm for when life is not so good. Kids and youth, let me talk to you. Look up here. You've got some homework this week. I want you to memorize Psalm 23 if you don't already have it memorized. Can you do that? Psalm 23, that's your assignment this week. Psalm 23 is one of those classic texts. It's to be learned alongside the Ten Commandments, John 3:16, Philippians 4, 6, and 7, and other passages. It's a foundational classic passage that you need to have committed to memory, and it'll stay with you all throughout your life. Now, lastly, what's its focus? What is Psalm 23's focal point? Or you could say its aim or its target. Well, its focus is about Christ. Psalm 23 points us to Christ. In fact, all the Old Testament shows us or points us to Christ. And that's especially true of Psalm 23. Again, Psalm 22 is about Christ, the suffering Savior. Psalm 24 is about Christ, the sovereign Lord. But Psalm 23 is about Christ, the shepherd. He's our shepherd. And really, you see this shepherd imagery all over the Scriptures. It's all over the Bible. Let me just give you a few references here. Over in 1 Peter 2:4, Peter says that Christ is the shepherd and the overseer of our souls. Hebrews 13:20 says that Christ is the great shepherd of the sheep. And of course, there's that classic passage, John chapter 10, where Jesus says, "I'm the good shepherd." John 10:11, he says, "I am the good shepherd. My own know me. I know them." So that's a fast and furious overview of Psalm 23. I hope that kind of orients you to the background or to the setting of this great psalm. Now, second, I want us to look at the shepherd himself in verse 1. Verse 1 drives or steers the entire psalm. I think it's the main message of Psalm 23. And everything after verse 1 sort of fleshes out or further explains verse 1. So verses 2 through 6 put meat on the bones, if you will, from verse 1. I want you to set verse 1 before your eyes again. Make sure your Bibles are open so you can see the word of the Lord. David says, verse 1, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." As we jump into verse 1, I want you to see four things, four truths about our shepherd. I want us to unpack every word, every phrase here in verse 1. So first, verse 1 tells us that we have a divine shepherd. You and I, we have a divine shepherd who leads us. Notice what David says in verse 1. He simply says, "The Lord." And you'll notice that the word Lord is in all caps, isn't it? Every letter is capitalized. That's the Hebrew name Yahweh. And it's taken from the Hebrew word to be or I am. So that should remind you of when Moses was at the burning bush back in Exodus. In Exodus 3:14, the Lord says to Moses, I am who I am. And that's the name Yahweh. So this is the Lord that we're talking about. This is the great I am. And the word Lord or Yahweh, it means that God exists completely in and of himself. He doesn't depend on you or me or anything. He has no needs. A God, the Lord, is the self-existent one. He has no unmet needs outside of himself. The Lord, he has no deficiencies. He has no holes in his holiness. So I want you to appreciate who the Lord is here in verse 1. Don't miss our shepherd. David is saying, this is the God who made the world and everything in it. This is the God who reigns and rules over heaven and earth. This is the Lord who gives us life and breath and everything. This is the Almighty and everlasting God. That's our shepherd. He's the Lord. Now, again, we don't know what spurred David to write Psalm 23. There's different arguments out there. Some say he wrote it while he was hiding from Saul. Others say he wrote it when he was fleeing from his son Absalom. Some say it was early in life. Some say it may have been later in life. Whatever the occasion, David is saying here in verse 1 that he has a divine shepherd, a heavenly shepherd. Isn't this a great picture? Isn't this a great image, a great reminder for us to think on? What was true for David 3,000 years ago remains true for us today. In other words, the Lord, Yahweh, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he is our shepherd. He is still shepherding his people. He still cares for us. Whatever the challenge, whatever the adversity you're up against, God watches over you. He guides us. In other words, the one who has no needs, Yahweh, the Lord, he is able to meet our every need. One final thing, one last thing to point out about the Lord here in verse 1. Notice how the psalm begins with the Lord, and how does it end? Verse 6. So verse 1 says, the Lord's my shepherd. And then verse 6 says, I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So it's fitting that this psalm starts with God, and it ends with God. That's another reminder. This psalm is not ultimately about us, but about the Lord. It's about our divine shepherd. Now, second, verse 1 also tells us that we have a personal shepherd. So you and I, we have a divine shepherd, but we also have a personal shepherd. Look again at verse 1. David says, the Lord is what? My shepherd. So the word my tells us that David is making this psalm intimate and personal. Martin Luther once said that Christianity takes seriously the personal pronouns. A personal pronoun is I, you, he, she, it, mine, my. And what Luther meant is that in the Bible, God uses personal pronouns because he cares for us on a personal, intimate level. In other words, he's a personal God. He's not just floating away out there in the heavens. He cares for us on a personal level. So as you run your eyes over Psalm 23, you'll notice all the he's and the me's, all the I's and the my's. Look back at the text. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. So David is getting up close and personal in this psalm. And I want you to read Psalm 23 this week out loud if you want and count all the personal pronouns. If you don't want to read it out loud, read it privately. And you can circle or underline all the times that David uses a personal pronoun. And kids, that's your homework this week too, okay? If you're not able to read, have mom or dad or an older brother or sister read this psalm out loud, and you count how many times David uses a pronoun. So Psalm 23 is universally loved because it's individually relevant. It's a personal psalm. It's about the Lord, ultimately, yes, but it's about the Lord's love and his care for us. So when we say the Lord is my shepherd, we are saying what? Little old me. God cares for me. I belong to him. I'm his sheep. He has my best interest in mind. He owns me. He cares for me. So this week, I want you to remember the Lord's personal care for you in your life. Reflect on it. Every hair of your head is numbered. Every prayer of yours is heard. Everything that you need in life is supplied. Every blessing that you have comes to you from your personal shepherd. Third, verse 1 tells us that we have a caring shepherd. So we have a divine shepherd. This is the Lord we're talking about. We have a personal shepherd. David says, the Lord's my shepherd. And now we have a caring shepherd. Verse 1. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. That's the word I want you to focus on. Just the word shepherd. Now, let's start by asking, what is a shepherd? How can we define a shepherd? What do they do? Well, the word shepherd is actually a contraction of two terms. It's the word sheep, and it's the word herder stuck together. So if you put sheep and herder together, you get shepherd. And God is the shepherd, and we are his sheep. Now, what do shepherds do? What's their primary role? Think about it. What do? As I thought about this metaphor this past week, I came up with six things, six core duties that shepherds do, how God provides for us. So number one, shepherds seek and save lost sheep. They seek and they save lost sheep. That's what God does for us. Before you were a Christian, you were about to wander off the cliff. And then God reached into your life, he sought you, and he saved you. Number two, shepherds feed the sheep. That's what God does for us. He feeds us through the preaching and the teaching of his word. So you need to be in church every week to be fed by the Lord from his word. Number three, shepherds guide the flock. Again, so it is for us. God leads us and he directs our lives. Number four, shepherds tend the sheep. That's what God does for us. He cares for us. He gives us his Holy Spirit. And he visits us with his blessings. Number five, shepherds protect the sheep from predators. That's what the Lord does for us. He protects us from sin, from Satan, and frankly, from our own stubbornness. Number six, shepherds love the sheep. And of course, God loves us so much that he sent his son, the Lord Jesus, to die for us. So, friends, God is a caring, loving, gentle shepherd. Let me just read to you a few verses from around Scripture about how God is our shepherd and how he cares for us. Isaiah 40, verse 11. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom. Ezekiel 34, 31. You are my sheep, human sheep of my pasture, and I'm your God. Mark 6, 34. When Jesus went ashore, he saw a crowd, and he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. Remember over in Luke 15, there's the parable of the lost sheep. And Jesus says, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he's lost one of them, does he not leave the 99 and go after that lost one until he finds it? And then finally, John 10, verses 1 through 15. It's the great good shepherd passage. Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. He'll go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. I'm the good shepherd. Finally, verse 1 tells us that we have an all-sufficient shepherd. So he's a divine shepherd. He's a personal shepherd. He's a caring shepherd. Now David says he's an all-sufficient shepherd. Look at that last line in verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. The word want is an old-fashioned term. Today, I don't think we really talk about being in want, or at least I don't. But the word want comes from the medieval term to be abandoned or to be left without care. And I love how the ESV echoes the old King James. I shall not want. So to say that you shall not want is to say that God provides for your needs. He takes care of all of our needs in life. He'll never abandon you. He'll never forsake you. Now, the Lord doesn't provide for our greeds, but he does provide for our needs. He doesn't provide for our daily cake, but rather our daily bread, as the Lord's Prayer says. So let me ask you, what sort of needs or wants were you? What keeps you awake at night? What are you lacking? Well, know from verse 1 that the Lord can provide. David tells us that God is an all-sufficient shepherd. Pastor Robert J. Morgan says this on how God has provided for his needs as his wife was dying from multiple sclerosis. He says, last night I slept fitfully, and I think part of the reason was a lurking fear that complications of my wife's multiple sclerosis were worsening, particularly due to the fact that our insurance company denied a particular medication she was taking. I fretted not only about her, but also about me. As a caregiver, I wondered what would happen should something happen to me, and what will happen to me if her condition significantly deteriorates. He goes on, we are sheep full of apprehensions, aren't we? Without a shepherd, we are clueless. So after a night of fretting, I wasn't surprised this morning when I came to Isaiah 2:2 in my daily Bible reading, or 12:2. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. That's what David is saying in verse 1. He's saying, I shall not want. He's saying, God's going to take care of me. I'm just a stubborn sheep, but God is going to lead me and provide for me and take care of me. He's going to fight my battles for me. And of course, the Bible tells us everywhere that we will never be in want. Psalm 34:10, the young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Psalm 84:11, no good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Romans 8:32, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Philippians 4:19, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. It's like the little boy who went to a Sunday school class, and the lesson that day was on the 23rd Psalm. And after the class, the mother said, now, son, what did you learn in Sunday school? And the boy said, well, we learned about Psalm 23. And the mother said, well, can you recite the opening verse for me? And nervously, the boy took a deep breath, and he said, the Lord's my shepherd. I've got all that I want. And that's not a perfect recounting of the verse, right? It's a paraphrase, but I kind of like the way he puts it. The Lord's my shepherd. I've got all that I want. That's what David is saying in verse 1. God is an all-sufficient shepherd. So we'll continue to look at Psalm 23 in the coming weeks. There's just so much gold for us to mine in these verses. And I hope and I pray that this sermon series encourages you. Most importantly, I hope it points you to the Lord Jesus Christ. I like the story of the pastor who would call the local newspaper to give them his sermon title. So back in these days, newspapers would publish the pastor's sermon title for the coming Sunday. So the newspaper answered, the lady answered the phone, and she said, what's the title of your sermon, Pastor? And the pastor said, the title is, The Lord is My Shepherd. The lady responded, is that all? And the pastor said, "That's enough." But before he could clarify, the newspaper lady hung up the phone, and she ended the conversation prematurely. And that's how she printed the title of his sermon in the paper: "The Lord's My Shepherd, That's Enough." To me, that's what David is saying in verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, that's enough. That's true for us today, isn't it? The Lord is our shepherd, that's enough. Well, let's pray together.